Remember the Titans. It's a movie that chronicled and sometimes dramatized the integration of a school represented by a football team as they went on a quest for a perfect season. It's kind of close to home because the real school that was represented by the Titans was right there in Arlington, Virginia, ironically right outside of the Arlington Cemetery. The team was represented by two sides, a white side and a black side. The white side represented by Bert Teer, the young man that you saw in the hospital bed there. The black side by a guy named Julius. And as much as the movie was about the football team and the things that they went through and the struggles that they had, it was really about watching these two young men put their differences aside. I like exactly how Bert here said it. He was afraid because he was only looking at what he could see. We've been looking at this series, Faceless Book. And the idea behind it was simple. I mean, there are a lot of people. There are the who's who of Bibles. We know the Moses, and we know Jonah, and we know Noah. And when we move over to the New Testament, we know Peter, and we know Paul, and all of these names that we are taught from very little kids. And, you know, we sometimes miss that there's a lot of people that they're just faceless in the Bible. They're faceless in the fact they don't even have a name. We don't know where they came from. We don't know where they went. So we've looked at the woman at the well. We've looked at the woman suffering from bleeding. We've looked at a mom begging for a child. We've looked at the man that's suffering from leprosy. And well, today we're going to be in John chapter 9. And you're looking at that verses 1 through 41 and you're thinking, oh my gosh, how long are we going to be here? Well, we're not going to read every single verse. But we are going to look at the idea of blindness. And so let's just begin real simple with the miracle. Because from 1 to 41, you would think this would be an extravagant miracle, but really the miracle only takes two short verses. Verses 7 and 6. After saying this, this is Jesus, spit on the ground and made some mud with saliva and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told them, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. And that's it. That's the entire miracle. This man was blind, and now he can see. Jesus made a mud pie and stuck it on his face and sent him to wash. But when we begin to think about this, there's really quite a lesson that I want to focus on. And really, the nameless, faceless man, well, he becomes almost secondary to the story we want to talk about today. And what we want to discuss today is, what makes you spiritually blind? Bert Teer was blinded by the fact that the guy that was now on the bench next to him was black. He had all of these cultural things in his past, and everybody that was whispering in his ear, and up until this point, they had been a one school for them and the one school for us, and it was a them and us kind of scenario, and so he became blind to the person next to him was another human. Another person. And you know, in our spiritual lives, I think we do this too. We get so caught up in our life and we get so caught up in the physical and we get so caught up on things, we become spiritually blind. But this little story is tucked right here to keep our focus on what is it that makes us spiritually blind. So let's begin with the disciples. They were blinded by their judgment. Listen to verses 1 and 2. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Isn't that funny? The men that had walked and talked with Jesus and saw so much compassion, they looked at this man sitting there probably on the side of the road. He was probably a little bit dirty already. He was blind, which means he probably was begging. He was probably right there. And when they walked around, they saw him. They saw the man. They did. Give him a thumbs up. They didn't just walk by and ignore him. They saw the man sitting there, but there was absolutely no compassion. As a matter of fact, the disciples came to a rash conclusion. The only reason anybody could find themselves in this kind of situation is that they have sin in their life. And tell me we don't do the same thing. We see the people standing on the side of the road and with the sign that says, need help, and we want the backstory to it. We see people coming to the church and their lives are a little broken, and we want the backstory to it. Obviously, there's something wrong with you because you're in this situation. We're not much different than the disciples. You know, Jesus gives us a stern warning about judging people. It's found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 5. You don't have to turn there. Let me just read it to you. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For the same way you judge others, you will be judged with the same measure you use. It will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eyes and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And this is a really funny picture that we get here about judging. You get the idea of the person, you ever got an eyelash in your eye before? It hurts. But they got this little speck of sawdust in their eye, and you've got this person with this big old 2x4 hanging out the side of their head, and the person with the big old 2x4 hanging out the side of their head is trying to see clearly to get the speck of dust out of somebody else's eye. That's the analogy Jesus is using here. And he's saying, don't do this. The next time you feel like judging somebody just because of their appearance, just because of what you see, remember, you've got issues of your own. And if you were to open up your deep, dark secrets and you would let people see behind your closed doors, you're going to realize your issues may be bigger than the ones that you're judging them for. It blinds us spiritually. The disciples couldn't see the needs of this man simply because they were too busy trying to figure out whose fault is it. They wanted to assign some blame for the situation. And they were blind. Of course, they weren't the only ones. As our story continues, in verses 8 through 12, listen to the man's neighbors after he's healed. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes open? They asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. And as I listen to this, I'm thinking, what a crazy conversation. These people were blinded by their own skepticism. What an insane conversation. Here is this man that probably sat in the same spot every single day begging for food or money or whatever he could get from those passing by. And now he can see this miracle has happened. And obviously there wasn't a crowd around when it happened. This miracle has happened. And listen to the conversation. Well, he looks like the man. He sounds like the man. But you see, they couldn't explain what they were seeing, so they just wanted to dismiss it. Are you really him? Maybe we should have a DNA test to prove it. I mean, isn't this us, though? People come into the church, and they express their praise and all that God is doing in their life. And let's face it, because God isn't doing something amazing in my life, sometimes I want to be the skeptic. Really? You think that's God? Let me give you the logical explanation for what's happening. We become blind. You see, sometimes our need to understand, it kills our need to believe. It really does. These neighbors couldn't sit and praise God for what had happened. These neighbors couldn't sit and say, oh my goodness, let's go find Jesus so we can worship him. No, what did it say? They questioned the man. They doubted who he really was. Their skepticism blinded them from participating in a miracle. I'm worried this happens to us. Because you know what? We see amazing things happen in congregations across America every single day. We see people healed. We see people put their lives straight. We see people turn their lives around. But we remain skeptical that it really is real. And so we're unable to join into how God is blessing somebody else's life. And maybe that's why at times we don't feel like God is blessing our life. The skepticism gets the best of us. Of course, there was another group of people that encountered this. Our good old buddies, the Pharisees. You have to kind of feel sorry for them, don't you? I mean, they kind of become the topic of every single joke in the church. They kind of take the brunt of every single insult we have in the church. And the reality is, sometimes they look like the church. Listen to these men. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned to the blind man, "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened," the man replied. "He's a prophet." So here we have it. We have people that are blinded by their very religion. Here's a man that has had his eyes opened. He can see. It's a miracle. And let's face it, this doesn't happen every single day. And he's brought to the religious leaders. And what are they stuck on? Well, today's the Sabbath. Now, this isn't Jesus' first issue with the Sabbath. I mean, he's healed on the Sabbath before. But it's done a little bit different. You see, there's a man in Mark chapter 3 that he said, "Stretch out your hand." And he healed him on the Sabbath. There's a lady who we'll meet next week, this crippled woman, and she was walking by, and well, he said, he just called out to her. But you know what? Both times the Pharisees got upset about this. Both times the Pharisees criticized Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. So I love Jesus' response. He ups the ante a little bit. He pushes the envelope. Because when the man has to talk about how he got healed, listen to what he says. He says, "Well, Jesus made mud. And well, I went and washed." And you know what the problem with those are? Under the Jewish law, making mud and taking a bath on the Sabbath would have been illegal. They both would have been considered work. So now not only is Jesus healing on the Sabbath, he himself is working on the Sabbath, and he's making other people work on the Sabbath. There's no way this man can be from God. Do we get blinded by our religion? Do we? You know, it's funny. I know one of the big debates in our society still is working on Sunday. And you'd be surprised how many people say, "Well, I don't believe people should work on Sunday. Then we ought to pass a law so people don't work on Sunday." And those same people, as soon as the church is out, we head for the restaurants. Guess what? Somebody has to work on Sunday to feed you. It doesn't make any sense, does it? We have people that say, "You shouldn't work on Sunday. You shouldn't do this on Sunday." But we go to Walmart on Sunday. Right? You see, our religion sometimes gets us a little uptight. It means that we can't see people for who they are. We become very blind to our religion. We're going to talk a lot more about this next week when we talk about this lady that was healed, that was crippled. But just so you know, it's one of the things that gets in the way of seeing people for who they are. So then we move on. And we are in verse 16. And we find out their focus. Some of the people said, "This man is not from God. He does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" And they became divided. That's what religion will do to you. You focus a church on merely religious rules and regulations, and rest assured that church will be divided. We'll have conflict one with the other. It's what happens. And you know, as crazy as that sounds, that these disciples judged him and were blind, and as crazy as it sounds that his neighbors were skeptical and they were blind, and as crazy as it sounds that the Pharisees were blinded by religion, there's another group that were blind, and it's parents. And I just find this one ironic, because they were blinded by their fear. This is the verses 18 through 23. They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Now, I just want to tell you something. If my son had been blind for his entire life, and all of a sudden I walked into a room and he could see, I would be ecstatic. I would be overjoyed. I'd be doing cartwheels, which would be amazing because I can't do a cartwheel. That would be miracle number two for the day. But these people listened to the conversation. Is this your son, they asked? Is this the one that you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind, but how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. And listen to this part. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, but already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." These parents were so afraid that they were not going to be able to come to church anymore. They were going to have to find a new location to worship. They were going to be put out of the synagogue if they said that, well, it must have been Jesus. If they worshipped and praised Jesus for who he was, they were going to be put out. And so they became afraid. And as they became afraid, well, they kind of passed the buck and said, you know what? He's old enough to fend for himself. You ask him and let whatever he says be on him. You ever been blinded by your fear? Afraid that if you say the name of Jesus, somebody may look at you like you're a radical. Afraid that if you pray before your meal when you're in public, that somebody might say something to you. Afraid that if you read scripture when somebody's around, that somebody might say something to you. Fear blinds us a lot. And it makes us spiritually blind to what God wants us to do in our life. Of course, I love this man because he refuses. He does give a testimony. He tells them exactly what happened. I'm going to attempt to read 10 verses in a row here. Here we go. This reading out loud usually isn't my thing, but this is important. Listen to this, and then we'll break it down. A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner," this man being Jesus. He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know is I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him. You are this fellow's disciple. "We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly people. He does his will. Nobody has ever heard of an opening of an eye of a blind man's eyes. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You are steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. This goes from crazy to just plain dumb. They bring him back in a second time and they begin to grill him. And well, they say, "Who is he? Tell us all about it again." He says, "You know what? Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know is I was blind, but now I see." As they begin to grill this man, they begin to try to make him say it wasn't Jesus, it wasn't a miracle, it was something else. This man says, "You know what? I don't know what it is you're looking for from me. I don't know what you want me to tell you, but here's what I do know. At point A, I could not see. At point B, I can see. That is all I can tell you, folks. What a testimony from this man. How easy would it have been for maybe sweep the miracle under the rug a little bit? To give in just a little bit. But he couldn't. And so it continues and he says, I have already told you. And you did not listen. And I love this question. You want to become his disciples? Look at the word there. Two. You realize what had happened to this man, right? He had gone just from being a blind man touched by Jesus' life to now he was willing to become a disciple, which means follower of Jesus. What a testimony. So he goes from just telling his story to now he's saying, really? You want me to tell you about Jesus? Do you want to become his disciples also? He's labeling himself at this point. And then we get the big spot here and they are really turning up the pressure. And I've lost my place. I'm over there too much. They say, we don't know who Jesus is. We don't even know where he came from. And then he gives the great big speech. Now, that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. Really? You don't know where he came from? Don't you get it? We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to godly people who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And keep in mind, this man had never actually physically seen Jesus. Jesus sent him away blind with mud caked on his eyes. And when he came back, Jesus was nowhere to be found. But this man still understood, God's at work. Because I'm not blind anymore. I can see. And so the man gets kicked out of church, which I find ironic. Because you think they'd be touting him as, look at all God's doing in this man's life. But they say, you know what? You're just like him. And they judge him. They say, you're a sinner since birth. Get out of here. So this man is left, I guess, spiritually bankrupt. But at least he has his sight. Or is he spiritually bankrupt? See, he got something much more because he learns how to receive true sight. Listen to verses 35 through 38. Jesus had heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked, tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. All of the religion, all of the synagogues, all of the judgment was all put to rest in these two simple statements. Believe and worship. That's true sight. You notice the theme to all of these people? I don't care who they were, whether they were by the well dealing with their past, or whether they were desperate, or whether they were determined, or whether they were just living their life however. After Jesus got finished with them, what are they? They're believing and they're worshiping. That's true sight. When you can come together and you understand who God is and you worship Him for who He is, that's true sight. Not all the other stuff that we put on it. Not all the rituals that we put in place. Not all the judgments that we try to throw out there. True sight, believe and worship. God's really that simple. And then Jesus, He has to go and confront the Pharisees. He couldn't let them go. And this is what he says in 39 through 41. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what? Are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim to have seen, your guilt remains. See, the Pharisees didn't give it up. I don't know if you realize this, in the entourage that followed Jesus throughout Galilee, there was a little gallery of Pharisees that followed Jesus wherever he would go. You had the disciples, and you had other people that followed him from here and there, but the Pharisees had people that were assigned to go with Jesus. So now they're moving from here to here to here. And they're back in front of this man. And Jesus looks at him and says, you know what? Are you blind? Because you know, but you don't see. And the Pharisees take great pride in the fact that they know everything, and they take great offense at the fact that Jesus is calling them blind. And Jesus said, you know what? I don't think you are blind. Because you know better. You know the law of Moses. You know what God said about the Messiah. You know all of this. But because you've chosen not to believe like this man has, who really didn't know anything, you've become blind. That's a scary thought. The clip I showed this morning started with the gentleman that walked in when Julius walked into the hospital room. And the nurse looked at him and said, sorry, only family can come in here. Don't you love the question? And the statement that the Bertier made, he said, are you blind? And that's what I want to know this morning. Are you sitting here this morning and you're blind? And I'm not talking physically. Are you blind spiritually? More importantly, what's blinding you? Are you blinded by your judgments? Are you blinded by the fact that you look at people and you judge them, and even church people, and you judge those people, and so you become spiritually blind just because you've made rash judgments in your life? Maybe you're blind this morning because you're a skeptic. Oh, they're all over the world these days. They've always been there. It's just now they have more venues to express their concerns. And we're skeptics. We don't believe things because we can't prove them. We can't put them in a test tube and make the right balance come out. So we become skeptical and we're blind. Are you blind because of that? Maybe you're blind because, you know what? You're a religious person. And all your life you've come to a church and you've sat in a pew and you've lived the life and you've followed the rules and regulations and you've crossed the T's and dotted the I's. And so you're sure that you've got everything all figured out, and anybody that doesn't fit the mold that you think they're supposed to fit, well, you judge them. Maybe you're blinded by the very rules and regulations you set up for yourself. Maybe the reason you can't go any deeper in your relationship, you can't make the connection with Jesus, is because you're afraid. You've been living the life that you've been living so long that if anybody ever found out that you need to make some changes in your life, heaven forbid. Maybe you're afraid what family would think, people would think, co-workers would think, friends would think. What's blinding you? Here's the question. Are you willing to get rid of it? Are you willing to set aside your judgments, your skepticism, your religion, your fear? Are you willing to take it all and just put it off to the side and say, you know what? I'm just going to be like this man. I'm going to believe and I'm going to worship. And we're just going to follow Jesus for who he is, and I'm just going to see where it takes me. That's the essence of faith. Can you do that this morning? Are we just so wrapped up in our life that we're going to live our entire life spiritually blind to the ministry Jesus is putting right in front of us? We're going to do a time of decision, and maybe you're here this morning and you've got some things that you need to get out of your life. This is your time. You can do so by coming forward, and I'll pray with you. If you want to pray by yourself, you can kneel. If you're not capable of kneeling, by the way, a lot of people say, you know what? What if you can't kneel? That's okay. There's plenty of room in the front pew. You can come and sit right here and pray if you want to pray by yourself. That's fine. You can pray right there at your pew. It doesn't require you to do anything as far as moving out of where you are physically. Spiritually, you have to move. Or you're going to be blind. Maybe you're like this man was at the beginning of the story, and he didn't know who Jesus was. If you've never met this man that can restore sight, come on forward. I'll introduce him to you. We'll sit down and turn the pages of Scripture. If you don't want to talk with me, I'll put you with somebody, and we'll sit you somewhere they can counsel with you and talk to you what it means to be a Christian. This time of decision is for you. Would you please stand, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing.